Penelope Goforth lived in Unalaska during the 1980s, and during that time, she fished, she worked as a photographer, and she founded the Aleutian Eagle newspaper, a weekly that would later turn into the Dutch Harbor Fisherman. Though it's been over 20 years since she left the island for Anchorage, she still spends a lot of time thinking about the Aleutians and its history. Recently, she made an important discovery of 6 logbooks written by Alaska Commercial Company agents stationed in the Aleutian Islands. These ledgers give us greater insight into what life was like in the region during the 19th century. Today, she's joining us to tell us more about these lost Aleutian ledgers. Welcome, Penelope.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be sharing the story of these incredible Alaska Commercial Company ledgers with you because you're in Unalaska.
It's our pleasure. So just starting off, how did these documents end up in your hands?
I'm a known rummager, and I was rummaging around in a basement in Washington State a few years back. And lo and behold, in an old Nordstrom's bag was a U.S. priority mail bag. And inside of that were a group of these journals. And I was so excited. And as I took them out and I pulled them out and I saw the name Chernofsky on the cover of one, and I opened one of the other ones up and I saw that it was letters, copies of letters from Unalaska. And I just got goosebumps because we have hardly any ledgers from the Unalaska district for the Alaska Commercial Company.
So can you tell us a little bit about the significance of these documents?
Oh, absolutely. After the sale of Alaska to the United States by Russia, there was essentially no government, no civil government. So the Alaska Commercial Company, which came here in 1867, right after the sale, essentially operated as anchor, post office, dry goods store. The commercial company did it all.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Could you describe some of the official kind of work that the agents did?
In some places where there was no marshal, they also operated as the local cop shop. I can tell you one story that just kept me up all night long. I was transcribing about 11:30 at night, and I came across this reference. There had been a knife fight, and Boris had apparently stabbed Semyon in the stomach. And Semyon was brought bleeding with his intestines hanging out to the Alaska Commercial Company agent. So they were very concerned about Semyon, and they weren't quite sure what to do, so they stuffed his entrails back in him and sewed him up and sent him home. And they took Boris, and they had leg irons, apparently. They put Boris in leg irons and put him into the storage shed. And I was fascinated. I had to stay up and keep reading and transcribing to find out what happened. Did Semyon make it? Did Boris try and escape, or did he, you know, get charged with assault? I mean, what happened? So about 4 hours later, it was now about 4 a.m, I finally found the entry that says that Semyon survived his wound. He got better. There was no more problems with him. So they went out to the shed and unlocked the leg irons and set Boris on his way.
Wow, that would not play out that way today.
That was all they could do. And they didn't bring any charges because, of course, you know, the commercial agent was more adept at, you know, measuring out flour and, you know, selling ammunition than he was at, you know, figuring out the laws of the land, which there were very few of.
So changing gears a little bit, can you tell me about the way that the agents interacted with the Unangan people out here?
They kept a little bit of distance, you know, between themselves and the people in the village. But they were by no means devoid of compassion because there are instances where they mention, well, it is a holiday, and so I'm giving the people seal oil today. so they can celebrate their holiday. And he talks about, you know, making sure that everybody has food. If he heard of somebody that was hungry, you know, he advanced them food on the company account. So, you know, in a way they were kind of patronizing, but in another way they also, you know, were caring about the people that they lived with.
And has reading these documents at all changed your perspective of the Alaska Commercial Company?
Certainly, the Alaska Commercial Company has taken its hits. Some people think that, you know, they really not only monopolized the fur trade, but, you know, enslaved people and didn't pay fair prices and, you know, in other words, just did the corporate rape thing. But that's not the picture that I'm getting, because the people themselves would not have the trust and would not have the ability to do business with these guys if they were, you know, getting badly treated, because they had other options. They had other commercial companies were attempting, you know, to get the hunters to go hunting for them and not for Alaska Commercial. So there was competition out there, maybe to help keep them honest. But I think ultimately the company owners and the people who started the company were good, kind people. And yes, they were into making a profit, but, you know, certainly not like the corporations of today. And the fact that the company was so successful could only happen if the local people that they worked with helped them get there.
So the logbooks tell us plenty about what was going on in the Aleutians, but they also give us an interesting view of what was happening with the rest of the world at this time, especially with the economy. What do you think is the most interesting example of this?
In 1893, there was a financial panic, and that was much like what we had in 2008. The stock market crashed, and it created a panic, and a panic was when people would pull their money out of the bank, and then the bank would collapse. So it had a domino effect and went across the world. People were not buying luxury items because they couldn't afford them, and one of those items was furs. So the London fur market became really depressed, and prices were really low, and there was a huge stock of furs available. So, of course, all the prices that were paid to the people who actually were doing the hunting were also depressed. They were hardly getting enough to actually cover the cost of going out and going hunting. So there was that big economic wave that actually reached the Aleutians.
So I guess my last question is this. Do you think there's any hope of finding more ledgers like these?
All of the Aleutian materials have disappeared. And I think that they're probably in other basements and attics and drawers, you know, tucked away here and there. And I'm really hoping that one of the results of my little find here will be to bring forward others.
Well, thanks again, Penelope, for joining us, and congratulations on your find. That was Penelope Goforth. You can learn about the ledger she discovered by checking out our website at kucb.org. That's all the time we have for The Exchange this week. I'm Alexander Gutierrez, and we had production help from Stephanie Joyce and Jane Bai. If you have any ideas for guests or topics, feel free to email news@kucb.org or post them on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time.